This is actually a three-part message. It's going to be one message per verse, approximately. Verse 16, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. You can memorize this, and very easy to remember. Rejoice evermore. That's the verse. Rejoice evermore. It's got a verb. It's got a noun. What else do you need? Or a subject and a verb. It's all you need for a sentence. Amen? Rejoice evermore. On the aluminum cap on the top of the Washington Monument. How many of you have seen the Washington Monument? So we lived out there for almost 20 years. I've never been in it. Have you been in it, Mrs. Schaefer?
No.
You have to have a ticket, and they only give out so many tickets each day. And then after the earthquake, they had an earthquake while we were there. They wouldn't let anybody in it because it had to be repaired. But the Washington Monument, which is, by the way, the last day we were in Maryland before we drove out here, I'll tell the whole story. The church had a really good farewell. We had lunch, and then they let us, had testimonies. And so service ended. They had the afternoon service instead of a nighttime service. And so the service ended at about 2:30. And we got in the car, and we were exhausted. We had just, I'd been sick Friday night. I'd gone to the hospital with dehydration. And Saturday, we had closed on our house and had to go find the cat. So anyway, Sunday afternoon, I was exhausted. And so I let Mrs. Schaefer drive, and I went to sleep. And she does not do quite as good following a GPS as I was hoping she would do. And I'm sleeping in the car. And if you don't know, I'll just tell you without the details, you don't have to go anywhere near the Washington Monument to get from Maryland to Arizona, all right? But seriously, I am asleep in the front seat of the car, and I don't know what woke me up, but I opened my eyes, and there's the Washington Monument right there. And if you've ever been to D.C., you understand, we're way lost. I'm not even sure how to get there when you want to get there. And then to make matters worse, it was Memorial Day weekend. There were, 10,000 Harley-Davidson motorcycle riders in town for they come to Washington, D.C. on Memorial Day weekend. And try to get around that, getting out of town. It was quite a night. So, Washington Monument. On the top of it, there's an aluminum cap. Nobody can see it. There are two words on that cap. They're in Latin. It's Laus Deo. No one can see those words. Visitors don't even know they're there. They're at the very top, 555 feet, 5 inches into the air. And by the way, there's a law in Washington, D.C. No one is allowed to build a building taller than the Washington Monument. So there'll never be a skyscraper in D.C. taller than 555 feet. That's the law. They face skyward. You can't even see them from the ground. And they overlook the District of Columbia, of course. Laus Deo. Out of sight, you might think, out of mind, very meaningfully placed there, however, by the people that built the monument. In Latin, those words mean praise be to God. Amen? Someone says our nation was not founded by Christians. Think again. Think again. But praise be to God. I'm looking at 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, and just two quick words. We won't be long, but very, very important. Might change the way you live if you think about this verse long enough. Rejoice evermore. Let's all say that together. Rejoice evermore. Father, thank you tonight. Lord, we don't believe you'd give us instructions like that if they weren't good instructions, a command like that if it wasn't a good command. It's a room full of people here, Lord, that have all sorts of problems in their life and all sorts of obstacles and all sorts of concerns. Some worry about health, some worry about money, some worry about all sorts of situations that they might face, other situations that their friends and neighbors and loved ones face. And Lord, you've commanded us, in a kind and loving way, you've instructed us to look ahead, to look past all of those things. Not that they cannot be dealt with, but just to look past all that and to look at you and to rejoice evermore. Lord, we can do that if we would. Help us tonight to understand what that means and why you've said it. And I pray that you'd give us understanding. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, first of all, you got to remember, the Thessalonian church was persecuted. They were so persecuted that they thought maybe the rapture had come and they missed it. They were being tormented by the people that were not Christian. They were suffering. They had a hard life. People were losing their jobs. People were having their property seized. People were being cast out of their families because they were Christians. Things were tough. And Paul comes to them and says, rejoice evermore. It would be like, and this is not, the illustration will make sense to you. If we would go to Patty Ball and say, Patty, rejoice evermore. Aren't we the kind of people that tend to look at what's going on around us and forget everything else? And don't we, just like on Sunday morning, remember I talked about Peter? He was walking on the water until he saw the storm and the wind and the danger. And then when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. And by the way, I can preach this message to myself just as easy as I can preach it to you. I need to hear this too. There's something that God wants us to know or to see or to understand that would let us rejoice evermore. Now, let's just say you could see through the eyes of Dan Ball just for a moment. Dan stepped into eternity just a couple of weeks ago. And what does the Bible say? To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Amen? And so shall we ever be with the Lord, the Bible says. But when Dan stepped into eternity, all of the trials, the suffering, everything that he faced in this world instantly was no longer an issue. And what does he see now? Everlasting joy. Amen. But here's the catch. Rejoice evermore. It doesn't say rejoice once you die. It says to rejoice right now. Would be interesting if we could go around the room and take a few testimonies of some people that have been in bad situations and been delivered. We have a God that delivers, don't we? And you remember, I can remember. In fact, we go through this many times in our life. You go through a situation, you have a problem. It could be something that, you know, we look back as grown up adults now, we think, testing, that's not a big deal. It is to a student. It is to a young person that they want to do good on their tests and they want to get good grades. And we try to explain to them that if they'll be diligent in their studies, it will help them to be diligent in life, which will make them usable by God. God can make you successful if you'll work hard. And he can bless your life in a greater way than if you won't work hard. So you got to study, right, Bronson? Amen. I remember when I was in school and I was distressed over an upcoming test. I still have dreams about that every now and then. And we have things that we face and we don't know what's going to happen. The car is broken and you're not sure how much it's going to cost. Oh, here comes tax season. Tax season used to scare me to death because I wasn't sure if I was going to get $1,000 or owe $1,000. I didn't have $1,000. And, you know, there are people here tonight and we have loved ones, friends and others that are ill and we don't know what's going to happen. But we have a God.
Amen.
Amen. We have a God. And we have Romans 8:28. I like that song, Standing on the Promises. Turn to Romans 8:28. I'm going to read you a bunch of verses here in a minute, but let's start there. Seems like this is a topic that has been valuable to us as of late, Romans chapter 8. I have it circled in my Bible. You might want to do the same. Romans 8:28. You got it, Lucia? You got it? Read that for me nice and loud. Okay, all things. Sometimes somebody you say, what's the matter? Oh, things. You know, things can bother us, can't they? We don't have to describe the details, just use the word things. But he says, all things work together for what?
Good.
To them that love God. Now, you got a qualifier there. I hope you love the Lord. What's he done for you? What's the Lord done for you? Started out, he died on the cross to pay for your sins. Amen? Then he sent you the gospel. He sent somebody to you with the gospel so you could get saved. Amen? And he spared you from the suffering and the horrors of a lot of things that people go through in this life. The alcoholism and drug addiction and immorality and all the wickedness that destroys people's lives and the things that they do. And God has been very good to us. And he says, if you love God, he says, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And I want you to know, if you love God, he's got a purpose for your life. In fact, he's got a purpose for your life. Go back to 1 Thessalonians real quick. I'll read you a couple of verses. I'm just going to read these. Don't turn there. Rejoicing in the Bible, Psalm 5:11. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Is there any problem that you have that God cannot deal with? If it's a financial problem, if it's a money thing, God can take care of that, can't he? If it's a health thing, God can take care of that. I was going to read the story behind Standing on the Promises. The fellow that wrote that song lived in Baltimore in the 1800s, and he got very, very ill. And he was diagnosed with, what was it? I can't remember now. But at any rate, just as he was diagnosed, they found a cure for the disease he had. And God spared his life. And that's one of the reasons he wrote that song. And health issues, God. And by the way, whether God heals you or takes you home, either way, you win. Amen. Other situations, we forget to trust God. We forget to trust God with our troubles. We went out last night, and the Lord kind of laid this on my heart. It is good for us to go out and tell people about Jesus. Amen? It is better for us to pray and then go out and tell people about Jesus. Amen? As a church, we need to be praying for power when we go out and witness to people. And God will give us that power. God has that ability. He can deal with whatever. If you knew, if I came to you tonight and I said, I have good news for you, a billionaire, I won't name one, but a billionaire has left you with all the money you could ever spend. If you have a need, just write the check. It'll get paid no matter what it is. Wow, no more money problems. Wouldn't that be great? Well, there's more to life than money. Amen. And a lot of people that have gotten a lot of money have wound up hurting themselves that way. But if you had a broken car and somebody said, I'll pay the bill. I told you the story of my friend that was horribly injured. His ear was half torn off and the hospital bill was tens of thousands of dollars and he wasn't sure how to pay it. And a man stepped up and wrote a check and paid the whole thing. I know a missionary to Mexico, Matt Johnson, his wife had a very difficult child delivery. I forgot what the bill was, 20-something thousand dollars, and a man wrote a check and paid for the whole thing. Do you think Matt Johnson rejoiced the day the hospital bill got paid? Amen. Amen. Well, what God's asking us to do is rejoice, believing he'll take care of us. Amen? He will. Psalm 33:1, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Psalm 40 and verse 16, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Luke 10 and verse 20. Now this is where they had been able to cast out demons and they were pretty excited about it, that they could cast out demons. And Jesus says, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Is your name written in heaven? Amen. If you're saved, it is. I don't know what problems you got, but I can guarantee you this, 100 years from now, you won't even think about it. Amen. But I know some people 100 years from now that are going to be in hell, and they're going to be thinking about that. Listen to me carefully. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. 1 Peter 4:13, rejoice. even in as much as ye are partakers in Christ's sufferings, when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad, that ye may be glad with exceeding joy. When the Lord comes back, we're going to be able to rejoice. Amen? An instruction, not a suggestion, not a, it's more than a command, really, but an instruction in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice evermore. let's see if I can find that real quick. There's a hymn I want you to look up in your hymn book. I had the number and I forgot. I think it's 688. But if it's not, I'll tell you what it is. Nope. Okay, I got to find it again. It won't take long. I'll show you this and we'll be done. $788, missed it by 100. $788. Now I realize this is talking about thanking God, but when you understand the story behind this hymn, you might notice if you got there, $788, are you there? Look at the very bottom where it says, text written by a man named Martin Ringkart. And it was written in German, if I recall. Yes, in Saxony, Germany, it was written in German. It's translated into English by Catherine Winkworth. But this man named Martin Ringkart, he writes a song and he says this. He says, now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices. Now, what kind of circumstances do you think would bring a man to write that? He's saying, thank God, the world rejoices because of what God has done. He says, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. You will not believe the story about the man that wrote this song that can say, thank God, rejoice. Here's the story. You ready? Martin Ringkart lived during the 30-year war, and he was a pastor in Saxony, Germany. As the war dragged on, he was the only pastor in town. His duties as a pastor caused him to preside over 4,500 burials in 1637 alone. I mean, I've done four memorial or funeral services since I got here to Maryland. This fellow did 4,500 in 1 year. In that situation, with all those circumstances, he wrote the words, now thank we all our God. Folks, you can thank God. Amen? I appreciate a fellow that has faith enough to say that even though he cannot see that things are happy around him, he knows that the Lord's got a purpose in it. And that even though he can't see all the solution to his problems, he knows God's got a solution. Amen? And don't you know something else? When things get tough, isn't God especially good to take care of us? You ever had one of those times in your life? I've had two or three of them now where it just got hard. And all of a sudden, people start contacting you and say, hey, I'm praying for you. Hey, how you doing? Folks, God sends that. Amen? Let's tell you a story and we'll be done. I had a lady in our church in Maryland. Some of you have heard this before, but listen carefully. Lady in our church in Maryland, her husband died the day after Thanksgiving. And she was an elderly lady. And so she was at the hospital when he passed away. And I was out of town when he passed away, but I was on the way back to Maryland, and I got there just a short time later, and I visited with her in the hospital just after he'd passed away. And she said, I don't understand. She said, I have been praying for God to take care of me and to comfort me, and I don't understand why God's not doing that. Her name was Mrs. Baker. And I said, Mrs. Baker, today in the hospital, you have been visited by three pastors and by all of your children. Don't you think God sent people here to comfort you? Amen? And, you know, it would be hard to see a loved one step into eternity. I know that's a time of suffering. But where are they now? Where is Ralph's dad now? Where is Dan Ball now? Where is Joe Milsick now? Crystal Hall, Mr. Moreno. They would not trade places with you for anything, amen? And folks, we're going to be going there someday soon, amen? If you know the Lord as your Savior, you have a reason to rejoice. Because in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Lord's going to take you to be with Him for all eternity. And everything's taken care of. And in the meantime, our God has a way of taking care of us, doesn't He? Let's all stand and pray.